It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. If you follow celebrity news, you have likely heard about Gwyneth Paltrow's divorce from Coldplay musician Chris Martin last week. The news was especially notable because of a term they used to describe the breakup, conscious uncoupling. The phrase raised eyebrows in the relationship counseling and divorce industries, especially for our guest, Paula Hopkins. She's a divorce attorney who specializes in collaborative law, where couples come to agreements on their divorce in a collaborative, non-adversarial manner. Paula Hopkins, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So had you heard the term conscious uncoupling before Gwyneth Paltrow mentioned it on her lifestyle website?
No, I had not.
And so what do you know? I'm guessing you went scrambling to the internet to find out more. What do you know about conscious uncoupling? But conscious uncoupling.
Actually, when I first heard the phrase, I think I, like many people, I thought of the verb coupling and uncoupling, which is sort of a mechanical disentanglement. And I thought that doesn't really sound much like the divorces that I've had experience with, which usually have a lot of emotion involved. But I did do a little research. And in fact, this is a phrase that has been around for a while. But it does sort of have its roots in the idea that marriage could perhaps be serial. In other words, maybe people would be married in one marriage for 10, 20 years and then would get a second marriage. And the idea that you could disentangle yourself from these relationships more easily if you don't have the idea or the value that marriage will be a lifelong commitment. In Pittsburgh, I think we're pretty much tied to that value, that aspiration that marriage is a lifelong commitment. So I'm not completely sure that many of my couples would view their divorce as a conscious uncoupling. But
well, and then, you know, when you talk about these the serial marriages, I mean, Mickey Rooney, who just passed away, one of the things that was interesting to read about him was that he was married 8 times. And that was a different era, certainly. You could go from relationship to relationship today without being married. But for those who are, do you think that this is a healthy way for a relationship or a marriage in this case to end?
Well, I do. There is the phrase conscious uncoupling that I'm not sure is as descriptive as I would like it to be. But if you look at her actual blog, she does do something that we do in the collaborative process. And that is she and her husband created a divorce story. A story about what they are telling people about the divorce. And their divorce story describes more that they've been talking about this for a year, that it's been very difficult, that they're sad, but that they want their privacy protected. And they are looking to consciously uncouple as well as co-parent their children, who they identify as their priority, as it should be. I think that kind of doing a divorce story the way that we do it in the collaborative process is very positive for couples.
We'd like to hear from you. How have you gone about separating from a significant other? What unique approaches have you used in your divorce or separation? Do you think conscious uncoupling or a breakup moon might help your situation? Join the conversation at 412-246-2002. 412-246-2002. We're interested in hearing from people who have questions about any of this, but we'd also like people who have taken a unique approach to their breakup to share their experiences with us so that others may learn from that. And I want to get into breakup moons, but with regard to conscious uncoupling, is it strictly referring to a marriage breakup or is it a relationship breakup as well? It can be applied to both, can it not?
I think it could be applied to both. And maybe the conscious part is that they are taking the time to make decisions about how it's going to occur, for example, choosing a process like the collaborative process or mediation, rather than just going to the default option of adversarial litigation.
Is it also about the idea of letting go gradually as opposed to just, you know, one person or the other cutting that person off, which may in the long run lead to more bitterness and tenseness in the post-marriage relationship as opposed to maybe easing out of the relationship?
Well, in their blog, she definitely says in her blog that they have been working on this for over a year. And I believe most of my clients have been involved in marriage counseling before they begin the process of divorce. And the process of divorce can take longer, whether it's adversarial or in the collaborative process. It can take a while because we're trying to transition each of the spouses into a new life and helping them to co-parent and to recognize, as Gwyneth says in her blog, that they're still going to be a family, even though they may not be an intact family. They will be a family if they have children and if they're going to continue to co-parent those children together.
Okay, and I can see people just rolling their eyes at that comment, especially that if you are divorced, if you are no longer legally married, then how do you – I mean, do you buy that?
Absolutely.
That you do buy it?
I do buy it, that you are a family. I absolutely buy it.
Okay, and I guess my question is, how can you be a family if the parents are not together, not living under the same roof with those children?
When you have children with someone, there is no one else in the world that will love those children as much as the other parent of those children. And there's no one who's going to understand the pain and the joys and the sorrow of those children like the parent of the other children. And so that by itself, that ongoing relationship with those children is going to create, again, a family relationship. And the sense is you want to have your children feel as though they have a family. Again, it's not the same as an intact family where the mother and father are married, but there is a relationship that goes forward as the parents co-parent and as they attend graduation together. In the collaborative process, it has not been unusual for both parents, even though they're going through a divorce or have divorced, to take a child to college together and for them, both of them to be there in on a move-in day. Now, when I did litigated divorces, that rarely happened. In fact, there was a lot of conflict around which parent was going to take the child to that first move-in day.
We're talking with Paula Hopkins. She's a divorce attorney who specializes in collaborative law, where couples come to agreements on their divorce in a collaborative, non-adversarial manner. And we're having this discussion in the context of the recent news of the conscious uncoupling of Gwyneth Paltrow and her husband, soon-to-be former husband, musician Chris Martin of Coldplay. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear some Pittsburgh stories about conscious uncoupling or breakup moons if you happen to have gone on one. 412-246-2002 is the number to call. 412-246-2002. We'd like to hear your story. Share it with us. 412-246-2002. Paula, explain what the collaborative non-adversarial divorce agreement looks like. How do you go about achieving that?
Well, each party has to have a lawyer who's trained in the collaborative process, and I've had probably over 200 hours of training in that process. And then we sit down together, sometimes with a coach who is a mental health professional, also trained in the collaborative process, sometimes with a financial neutral, also trained in the collaborative process. And we use the coach to help us work on communication issues, and we use the financial neutral to help us work on the money issues. And we basically meet together in conference rooms to work through the issues using what we call interest-based negotiation. We start first with goals for the parties. What are their goals for themselves, their children? Then we gather the information that they need to make an agreement. We then explore options. We reach consensus around an option. We test the consequences of that option, and then we reach an agreement. And it works.
So what kind of background do your clients tend to have? Have they been through a divorce already? Are they younger couples? Who are we talking about here?
I have the same clients that I had when I litigated divorce, which means they are clients who are all walks of life, many different age groups, different lengths of marriage. There's really no type of spouse or couple who are drawn to the collaborative divorce. It's the same sort of clients I represented in my 25 plus years of litigation.
And describe some of the scenarios that you deal with in the collaborative process. Money is always an issue. Visitation and time spent with the children is always an issue that has to be negotiated. But are there other scenarios in a collaborative process that come up?
Well, we're trying to divide the assets and the liabilities. And it was interesting, the topic that you had on earlier about money. I mean, money is a huge issue in every marriage and in every divorce. And so, you know, sometimes we try to tease out what the feelings or beliefs about money are, and that sometimes allows us to reach a settlement that both people are completely happy with. For example, in a marriage, sometimes one party is completely comfortable with amassing debt to accumulate assets, and they're completely comfortable with basically a zero balance asset list that has $100,000 worth of assets and $100,000 worth of liabilities. You may have another spouse. The other spouse may be someone who says, I can't live with that debt. I don't care if it's offset by the liabilities. I can't live with that debt. So it's very easy, once you understand that about them, to achieve a result that allows the person who wants no debt to walk off with no debt and no assets, but they have a clean slate, just their income, and the other party walks off with the assets and the liabilities with which they're very comfortable.
We're talking with divorce attorney Paula Hopkins about conscious uncoupling and what she oversees in her profession, the divorce in a collaborative, non-adversarial manner. 412-246-2002 is the number to call to join the conversation, and let's take some calls now, starting with LaVon in Zelianople. LaVon, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Oh, I just love the topic. I definitely believe my husband and I were married 21 years. We were better friends, and as the marriage progressed, we did counseling, and eventually it just was like we were becoming friends. So we, $182, I printed the, from Colorado, printed it off online through the courts. We kept our own separate retirements. He took He took the yard stuff and the basement work tools. I kept the jewelry, which he had bought me, and the furniture. We kept our separate clothes. We split the house. I mean, it was just a very pleasant. I mean, and we also had a daughter together. There was no custody. You know, whatever night she wanted to stay with Dad, whatever night she. During the week, she stayed with me. We were in the same school district. You know, holidays, if the family was coming over, then she went with his family. If I was going to go out of town, I mean, the only thing we agreed to was that we would not relocate out of town without permission from the other spouse, because our daughter was our primary focus. And
so,
money was not an issue. Well, he was a spender. I'm a saver. So that was becoming an issue as he was, but
that comes up a lot in marriages. But I would ask you this, LaVon: would you call this a conscious uncoupling?
Definitely. I mean, I just love that terminology. At first, when you were stumbling over it, I'm like, oh. But once you explained, and a family, you can be a family. I mean, I have four girlfriends that I've traveled with from college. They're my traveling family. You know, a family doesn't mean man, woman, and two children and a dog. You know, he went to our Girl Scout events. I mean, we even went away together sometimes. I have another friend in Colorado that would do the same thing. They knew that they couldn't be married, but they're better friends now. And we actually went with him. It was always funny. These are our ex-husbands. These are our two girls. And, you know, I think if I had separated my money sooner, he had kept his money, and he could have spent and done what he wanted. But I'd come home, and he had bought a new tool. And I'm like, we don't have the money for that. Or he'd eat out a lot, and I would eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
So it all worked out in the end. I love hearing, LaVon, we have to move on here, but I love hearing about how you were happy to introduce your ex-husband to your friends, and everybody was comfortable with that. Does that sound somewhat familiar to some of the arrangements that you've overseen, Paula?
Well, not really, because it sounds like they did it completely themselves. So this is what we would call unbundled services. Yes, it often is unusual, because sometimes people may not be so equal. For example, it sounds like they were able to keep each other's – they kept their own retirement account. The reality is in Pittsburgh, usually you have one spouse who maybe stayed home with the children, usually the mother. They may not have the same level of retirement accounts as the spouse who worked outside the home. And oftentimes there are earning disparities. So 50-50 might not work in that situation. You might have to make adjustments. So it's usually not as simple as that. But I applaud LaVon. In her case, it was that simple, and she and her husband were able to move forward.
Let's go to Jay in Moon. Jay, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to comment that I had a number of years ago.
You had a divorce?
Yeah, and it started out as a collaborative divorce, although it was not altogether friendly, but my ex-wife and I had decided that split up, and we decided to on how we were going to split the assets. And actually, since I was the one that wanted a divorce, had agreed to take all the debt and everything else until her family convinced her to get an attorney involved, who decided he was going to try to maximize her her take on the divorce. And that's when it kind of went sour. He dragged it into the courts, and as a result, I had no alternative but to defend myself against some of the actions they wanted to take. And as a result, she ended up with less than I had originally agreed to give her.
Hmm. Well, that's an interesting story, Jay. So what about the idea that the attorneys can create contention that might not have been there before all the legal advice was dispensed, Paula?
Yes, well, that often happens. That's what the adversarial process and litigation are all about. And the adversarial process is defined as pitting two parties against each other and taking extreme positions so that a third-party judge or hearing officer can make a choice between the two sides. And that seems to what happened in Jay's case. The collaborative process is not just being cooperative. It's actually a structured process. So it's not exactly what Jay was describing initially. But what Jay described initially often happens if people are trying to work things out and then one of them ends up with a adversarially trained litigating lawyer.
But if they'd come to you, would it have been different?
It would have been different if they had decided to try the collaborative process.
And this may be extending our conversation beyond the parameters of legalities here, but is the idea of being married to one person for life in this day and age too much pressure for somebody?
Well, I think it's a choice. It's a value choice. And one of the problems that I see and that makes divorce so difficult is that for some, one spouse may believe in the value of a lifelong commitment to marriage, and they may be willing to accept something less in terms of a relationship with their spouse in order to fulfill that commitment. Whereas another, their spouse, their husband or wife, might instead want to have the best possible relationship that he or she could have right now in the moment. And that might not be with their lifelong spouse.
Why did you decide to practice collaborative law? I mean, isn't litigation more lucrative?
Litigation is more lucrative. But I saw my clients winning in a divorce and yet being so unhappy and so lost and not knowing what next steps to go and having difficulty co-parenting their children. Many therapists will tell you that children are really the victims of a litigated adversarial divorce. Even if custody is not an issue, there's so much polarization that goes on. So this is a better way. I learned about this. It took me a while to transition my own practice, but it does. It is a healing process. It is a painful process, but it moves people to a place where they can take the next steps after the divorce to start a different life.
Paula Hopkins is a divorce attorney who specializes in collaborative law, where couples come to agreements on their divorce in a collaborative, non-adversarial manner. Paula Hopkins, thank you so much for being with us today on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.